What I want to do is just take a couple minutes to say we had a pet blessing yesterday. And it was at 10 o'clock, and we had about, seven or eight pets. We had a cockatoo, I think they call it, a little bird like this. We had a number of dogs, obviously, and then we had Molly, the cat, by picture, thank goodness. But Molly had been paralyzed this week, and so we did a prayer, and we blessed her, and we continue to bless her. And it was kind of embarrassing, to be honest, because all the dogs were behaving themselves. And then my dog chewed through its leash and went running around, and Lily and I are trying to get my dog at 10 o'clock to come back to be with a blessing. Thank you, Lily. And my dog thought this was a game. So before we started the blessing, I blessed her several times. In several ways. But it was a wonderful sermon. And today is actually Pet Sunday, I guess, annual Pet Blessing Day. Comes from St. Francis of Assisi. And churches throughout the United States today are celebrating. And some of them actually have the pets come to church. Oh, I hear it. No, we're not planning that for next year. Don't worry. Okay? But anyway, it is a wonderful Sunday. But today what I wanted to do is continue to talk about prosperity. And I've got another message after this on prosperity. But today, as I really looked at it, one of the things I experienced this week was a lot of talks on prosperity. Cindy Mills and I also together, not together, but online together, went to the Eastern Region meeting. And you know, it was a great meeting. They had some great speakers, great thought, challenging thoughts. And they did talk quite a bit about prosperity. So what I did is I took the title of one of the speakers, of course, and I'm not that original. Most everything you hear from Mary, everything you see from me, might come from the heart, but it usually comes from somebody else's brain. So I just want to say that. And so we have this legacy of prosperity. And today I just want to kind of remind everybody, and I know some of you know all about it, maybe some of it's new to some of you, but at the same time, that we need to be reminded. I know I need to be reminded, because see, we're in the world. We're active in the world in many, many ways. Sometimes when we don't even want to be, we're still there. And we forget some of these principles. You know, and inside of us we know, but we forget to really focus on them, to go into the silence, to think about it, and to understand who we are and what we are and how powerful we are. And New Thought has a legacy of prosperity. It goes all the way back into the early 1800s with Phineas Quimby. That's the one, right? Phineas Quimby. And he really, from Swedenborg, got this idea of healing. And as he practiced this healing that he did, and he actually did it at first in person with people, and then he would actually do it through thinking and through the mind and not in person. And he would sit on his back porch and actually work in the healing process for somebody who had written him a letter. And interesting enough, many, many of them actually healed as he did that with them. So he had a great power and great understanding. But he also had a great understanding of prosperity. And some of the people that he taught really bring back, if you would, the idea and remind us of people who taught prosperity. For example, he taught the Dresslers. The Dresslers were a couple who had a son, Horatio, who was an author and who did some of the first work on Phineas Quimby's history. And so they were very active initially in the New Thought movement. He also had Mary Eddie Baker. Did I say that right? Mary Eddie Baker. That's right. Okay. I get her backwards sometimes. But anyway, Mary Eddie Baker, of course, was the founder of Christian Science. And she sat and studied with him. And then what happened is she had a protege, Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was a New Thought teacher. She was the teacher of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And she also was the teacher of Ernest Holmes. Matter of fact, she took Ernest Holmes under her wings in 1924. The Fillmores in the 1890s, and in 1925 she passed away. So she did a mighty work and had great influence over some very powerful people. But really, that was including, of course, Ralph Waldo Emerson. That was the kind of legacy, the people who brought new thought into being and made it what it is and understood the power of it 100 years ago. And so today what I want to do is just talk about this idea of prosperity. And, you know, it's interesting. Eric Butterworth in 1993 wrote the book Spiritual Economics. And Reverend Richard McDeasy is going to teach that starting October 25th, I think it is, Wednesday nights. I encourage you to sign up for it. It's a great, great study in prosperity through the concept of spiritual economics. But he said, you know, ours is an age of great change, 1993. He didn't see, because he had passed away 2007. He didn't see any of these things we're seeing today, of course, through the power of the internet, through the power of, I don't know, artificial intelligence. Google has gotten so complicated that I have to learn it every 2 weeks. They keep changing the symbol, and so I get all confused with that. But change, look at the change we're going through. We're going through many types of change, and all of them actually are necessary. We're moving through it so we can find out who we are and what we are, where we want to be, and how we want to show up. That's why we're here. And so change comes about when we feel prosperous. When we understand what prosperity is, when we begin to let go of materialism as the symbol of prosperity and step into the spirit to do so. And so one of the things, the next slide, please, what I ask you to do is to think a little differently. And let's think differently about prosperity. The first thing I want to do is use the word affluence. And Eric Butterworth talked about this in Spiritual Economics. What is affluence? The word affluence has been kidnapped. It's been kidnapped. Because what you think of when you say affluence, many people, is what kind of car do I have? What kind of house do I have? How much money do I have in my checking account? How much money do I have in my savings account if I have one? How much, how do I dress? How do I act? How do I show up? And we think of that as affluence. And the more money you have, the more affluence, supposedly, you have. But affluence, if you really go back, has a different meaning to it. What it means when you trace is an abundant flow. An abundant flow. And abundant flow is really comes from the inside. It's you and I who are able to create not only the flow, but to participate in the flow. When we have an abundant flow, we know that we don't have to really worry. We're intensely worried. I mean, we think about tomorrow, but we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because we know deep down within ourselves that we have within ourselves the capacity to find the ways necessary to take care of ourselves. And so affluence really is the flow of energy moving in and through you, which creates within you the ability to actually create and attract all that you need to live life comfortably. My daddy used to say, I know that I was financially successful when I die and leave no debt and no money. I didn't like that. And he did a little better than that. But at the same time, how true that was, that his life had been successful as long as he didn't owe any debt and he'd spent as much money as he needed and he was out of money and then he died. That's kind of a comfortable thought, actually, if you think about it. And isn't that all we're supposed to do? I believe that. I hope I leave my children something. But at the same time, it's not my job to leave my children an inheritance. It's my opportunity. It's my wish. It's my desire. But it's not my job. And so I don't get all hung up on affluence from the standpoint of what I leave in inheritance, how much I have in the bank, or that type of thing. Because when we feel affluent, we let that flow through us, and when we let it flow through us, we know that we are blessed. We know that we are on the right track. We know that we are literally living life from a spiritual perspective, which brings about whatever needs we have materially. And so as we look at prosperity, please let us think about affluence as an abundant flow and not how much you have in your checking account. The next slide says that we also think differently about prosperity when we look at the word prosperity itself. If you look at the root of the word and trace the word back, it means well-being. Well-being. If you were in the desert and you were a millionaire, but you didn't have anywhere to spend the money, and you were lost in the desert, how valuable is that $1 million to you? Think about that. I got it in a bank somewhere, but it's of no value to me if I'm lost in the desert. Matter of fact, I think water would be more valuable. And so what I want to understand is to understand that prosperity is really that sense of spiritual well-being where I know who I am, what I am, that I am a spiritual being. I'm having this spiritual experience. I'm enjoying this spiritual experience. I'm growing in this spiritual experience. And as I grow in this experience, I'm able to serve. I'm able to give because I want to, not because somebody told me I should. Because I care. Because I love. And when I feel that and experience that, I then know that all is well in my world and I really feel good. Have you felt that way? And I'm sure you felt the other way too. What in the world is going on? You know, the oh God and then the yes God. I prefer the yes God. Thank you God. Yay God is the way I'm saying it. Okay? Not, oh God, because what I understand is that what is within me gives me the power to live not only in affluence, but also prosperously. Now, if you look, another thing is that Charles Fillmore had a quote, and he said in his book, Prosperity, and I don't know how many of you read his book, Prosperity, and some people find Charles Fillmore kind of dry to read, hard to read, but I will tell you, I still think that's one of the best books I've ever read. I think Charles Fillmore is pretty clear in his book, Prosperity, about what is prosperity, how do we participate in it, and what is ours to understand about ourselves. He said, do not expect miracles to be performed for you. You know, somebody said, well, I'm going to pray to God for a miracle. And somebody else said, why don't you ask your neighbor for help? You might get a better result. And I don't mean that facetiously, but what I mean is, you know, God is not going to fix us. We have the capacity to do what's necessary. Our neighbors, our membership here, our congregations, our people who come together, your family here, have the ability to help and support each other. Something out there is not going to do it. Something in here says that I can do it. And so anyway, Charles Fillmore went on to say, but do expect divine law working through you to work out your problems by means of the latent possibilities in and around you. Let the God within you express itself through you in the world without. Through you to the world without is another way to say it. And then he said, as he finished that quote, remember, ye are gods. Said that in the Hebrew scripture. Jesus said it. Ye are gods. Now, I don't want you to walk around town saying, I'm God. Nice to meet you. How can I fix anything for you, okay? You know, what can I do for you? No. But we are, because we are children of the infinite. We are creative. We are loving. We are caring. We have all of the characteristics that we give to that thing we call God. So we must be God. Think about that. Each person sitting here has the capacity to grow greater, to do greater things than we can even anticipate. I know that some of the parts of what I call the greater parts of my life, I didn't really plan for. Once I started to learn to do that, yes, but the first idea, the first opportunity would come along kind of out of the clear blue. My job was to see it, feel it, take hold of it, and grow it. That's prosperity. And as you do it, know that you are able to serve each other, one another, and to serve humanity overall. How do we serve the world today? By going into silence to hold the people of Israel in prayer. By going in silence to hold the people of the Ukraine in prayer. By going in silence to hold the people of Russia in care. And as we do that, we then bring about, in some mysterious way, a sense of prosperity in our own lives. And maybe somebody sitting here has an opportunity to actually get involved and do something about what's happening in a part of the world that's in conflict. We never know. But the opportunity may be for one of you to make a difference in the Ukraine, or to make a difference in Israel, or on the Gaza Strip. And so, just remember who you are and what you are. Then the other thing that Charles Fillmore and all the writers, the people I talk about, all talked about was the power of faith. You see, the power of faith is not a belief system. It is a power that exists within us that we are born with, that we have, that we don't have to invent. What we have to do is manage. We all have faith. And faith is the basis for bringing about our prosperity. It takes faith to create and follow an idea that brings peace between two family members. It takes faith to imagine and then hold that what you imagine into being, so you feel it, you sense it, you know about it. You can even touch it. And yet it's still in the invisible form. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? It means, in today's words, that we all work with energy. Do you see energy? You can touch energy if you want to, but you can't see energy. But what we have the ability to do is to form energy into that which we need to bring about the good in our lives and the good in others' lives. We use energy to do our work. We use energy to understand and feel ourselves and understand and feel others. It's through the power of energy, which is not seen, that everything takes place. When the word substance is used, I use the word energy, personally, because I understand, for me, that energy and the definition of God are one and the same. So, the next thing Charles Fillmore did is he, in the next slide, is that he put a little different spin. He said, faith is the perceiving power of the mind. That's the imagination. And that it is linked with the power to shape substance, to shape energy. And when we remember that and we use that, if you've got a challenge in your life, it will become an opportunity. If you have something in your life that needs to be changed, and you know it needs to be changed, if you will use your faith and then imagine how you want it to be, that will come about. It takes focus, it takes time sometimes, and it takes the desire to make it happen. That is an understanding faith. I understand how to use my faith to change my life, to demonstrate spiritual principles in my life and support those principles in all that I do. There's an affirmation on faith. This was written by Charles Fillmore in Prosperity. I have faith in the energy of spirit working in and through me to bring an increase abundance in my life. Does anybody have a problem with that? Okay, I'm going to say it again. Okay, say it together. It's on the slide. I have faith in the energy of spirit working in and through me to bring an increase abundance in my life. And so, one more thing. Next slide. Faith plus understanding plus love equals spiritual demonstration. It can be as simple as a tomato plant in your backyard. It can be as simple as finding the right hairdresser. I had a teacher who said, I pray when I buy a... Now, I thought she was a little crazy when she said it. I wasn't quite there. But anyway, I pray when I buy a toothbrush. I said, beg your pardon? She said, I pray when I buy a... I said, why? She said, very important. I want the right toothbrush to touch my teeth, and I pray about which one I should select. She said, it's not a long prayer. I just sit there at the aisle, and I go, which one should it be, Spirit? And then I pick the one that I'm drawn to. That's a pretty simple idea of faith, isn't it? Pretty simple idea of being prosperous and bringing our prosperity to us. But you know, when we do this with love and plus love, what happens is we have a spiritual demonstration. One of the things about faith is that we can manage it so that we have a human demonstration, which may or may not be for our good. But when you use faith and understanding plus love, you end up with a spiritual demonstration in your life, and you know who and what you are and what you are experiencing, and it feels all good. Thank you. And so now let's prepare for a time of meditation. As we do so, I ask you to just gently go within yourself. Focus on your breathing. Take a couple minutes, or a couple seconds, just to breathe in. Breathe out. Deeper if you wish. Focus on the breath. And as you do so, know that breath is life. And you are focusing on the life force within you. A life force that says yes to your desires. A life force that carries you through challenges. A life force that presents to you and brings to you opportunities. This creative energy is who and what you are. And so for a minute or so, let's just sit and be in the silence. And so we come back to this moment, knowing that we are spiritual demonstrators, spiritual beings, rejoicing with understanding and love for one another. And so it is. In the name of the Christ within, amen and amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your